Well, hey friends, happy Tuesday, wherever you're at in the world. Hey, Tamuma, I want to continue with what I was teaching on the other day about the idea of how to make God's voice clearer in your perception, how to increase the signal and reduce the noise, signal to noise ratio when it comes to hearing from God. Great to have you here. I have a quieter week this week. It's Thanksgiving week, so happy Thanksgiving. If you're not from America, happy Thanksgiving anyway. It's good to have you here. I actually love Thanksgiving. It feels a little bit like having two Christmases. You get to have a pre-Christmas and then a Christmas. So I've got a quieter week this week. Obviously Thanksgiving Thursday. On Saturday, I have a funeral for my next door neighbor, lovely gentleman who, great. Leah got to pray with him a couple of days before he died as well, which we're really happy about. And we're going to be driving over to Upper New York. I'll be speaking in Binghamton, Triumphant Life Church in Endwell, suburb of Binghamton, Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. And then we'll be staying in New Canaan Sunday evening. And on Monday, we fly to Israel. And we're really looking forward to that. I just believe it's going to be a real pivotal time, the Lord has said to me. So I get to spend a week with my lovely wife Leah in Israel. We get to meet Prime Minister Netanyahu next week. How cool is that? And get to visit the Knesset and a bunch of places there with a whole group of pastors and influencers from the United States. So looking forward to a good week there. Hey, let me mention as well, I don't think I have one here, but I have a new book coming out on December the 1st. You can pre-order it now, called Alive. It is all about the life of God and how to let the, literally the resurrection life of God flow in. You've got that life in your spirit. The spirit is full of life because of righteousness, Romans 8:10 says. But God wants that life to flow, overflow into our soul and literally into our body. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those champagne fountain things where they get this sort of pyramid structure of glasses all stacked on top of each other. And then they pour champagne. I would probably pour coffee, but then pour champagne into the very top one and it just overflows down and down. And that's, for some reason I always think of that image. Jesus came to give us overflowing life, Zoe in abundance. We have it in our spirit, but it should be in our soul, it should be in our body. The Bible says if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will give literally Zoe life to your actual flesh. I mean, how cool is that? So, really important thing there. And I think the life of God should be transferred around us everywhere. John G. Lake used to tell this story of once helping bury dead bodies in South Africa in a village that had been wiped out by cholera. And while everybody else were protecting themselves with hats and, you know, gloves and masks and whatever, and he was like, oh, I don't need this. And in the end, these medical people wouldn't believe him. So he asked them to do a test, to take some of the saliva from the mouth of a dead person, put it under a microscope, and of course it was teeming with bacteria. And then he said, watch what happens when my hand touches the saliva. And as he touched it, boom, all of the microbes and bacteria died. And they said, how did you do that? He said, it's simple. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin, death, sin, sickness, poverty, disease, demons, fear, death, all of those things. So, hallelujah. Life of God is a really important thing. Hey, let me jump in real quick to what I was speaking about. I think it was Saturday I last did a video. And I was talking about this idea of, it actually sounds very negative, but I think it's empowering if we're honest about it. Because when we're honest about a problem, it's the beginning of the journey to solve the problem. You know, if you have a problem, but you don't know you have a problem, you're never going to solve your problem. Probably the first step, you know, in any addiction recovery thing is to own, hello, my name's Graham, I have a coffee addiction, whatever, is to own that fact. And I think it's actually, again, sounds negative, but an empowering idea to embrace the fact that most of us, when it comes to hearing from God, have a signal to noise ratio problem. We are hearing from God. We at times say, Lord, speak to me. And I think God is always speaking to us. I think God speaks to every believer. But our problem is we have a whole load of other voices, chatter, fear, unbelief, doubt, Satan, the world, our unrenewed mind, our emotions, all of this swirl of thing. And I think at a practical level for most of us, we hear from God at about a 2% ratio. 2% God's voice, 98% noise, static, chatter. Now, you may tell me that's not the case for you, wonderful, but could I challenge you, if you really hear from God so clearly and loudly, like, what is it producing in your life? I mean, I'm somebody who does hear from God, and I'll do it publicly in specific ways where I will look stupid if I get it wrong. So I'm not talking about some theoretical, theological thing here. I know whereof I speak. And yet I do know that hearing from God is a very still small voice in a crowded room of chatty Cathy dolls at times. So I began with some ideas the other day, and I want to continue in that vein on how do we reduce that signal to noise ratio. And I want to read a few verses from the end of 1 Corinthians 13, famous chapter, the love chapter. But I think we often miss that 1 Corinthians 13 is all about spiritual gifts. It's about the why of spiritual gifts, how to move in spiritual gifts. And Paul says, he's really talking about prophecy, but in 1 Corinthians 13:9, he says, we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child, I reasoned as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For we now see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Awful lot in that passage. But I want you to catch that thing. Paul's talking about looking through a mirror, a glass, if you will, a window, but dimly. As if it's sort of, can you imagine looking, maybe driving with a car windscreen that is obscured, it is dirty, it is maybe the snow on it, whatever, and you're trying to, that would be dangerous, wouldn't it? And many of us are, we know in part, we see in part, we prophesy in part, we hear from God in part. By definition, that means we don't know in part, we don't see in part, we don't prophesy in part, we don't hear from God in part. We're seeing through a prophetic lens dimly, which means at times we're not seeing and this obscured. But Paul draws this comparison. Now obviously this is eschatological. He's talking about the ultimate, the return of Jesus. One day Jesus returns, we see him face to face. And at that stage, all of the obscurity, the part, the subjectivity, the chatter will die away. The day will come when you're hearing God's voice much clearer than you're hearing my voice. You know, right now I'm recording this in a cafe, and yet there is actually a bunch of noise going on around me. Now I've got a nice little microphone here, and hopefully that's electronically filtering out some of the noise, or its proximity to my mouth is helping you, I hope, do that. But there's some background noise going on today. The day will come when we will hear from God with no background noise. Well, you say, Graham, that's cool, hallelujah. One day when we get to heaven, when Jesus returns. But here's my little premise to you, and I'm going to continue on this more in the next video. I believe we can get there now. Or I believe we can massively increase the ratio of the signal to the noise, the part to the fully. I believe there's a way of exponentially increasing how much we hear from God. And the answer is actually found in that little phrase there. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. And let me make this just really clear. I want to suggest to you that the measure of time, of experience that you spend doing FaceTime with Jesus, not the Apple app, but actually looking at him face to face, the more we see his face, the more we hear his voice. I'll finish with this, but there's an interesting story in, I believe it's in Numbers chapter 11, where, you know, there's Moses who's walking with God, but Moses has kind of his two siblings, Aaron and Miriam, who are helping him. God's using them. They prophesy. They have experiences with God. And the time comes where Aaron and Miriam are getting a bit jealous of Moses. And they sort of begin grumbling and saying, well, what's special about Moses? You know, why aren't we all co-equal partners in this thing? This, you know, we're his brother and sister. And Aaron and Miriam begin to say, we prophesy, we get visions, we see mysteries in the spirit. God uses us, we're prophetic people. And the Lord calls all three of them on the carpet or into his presence. And the Lord says to Aaron and Miriam, a strange thing, an interesting thing. He says, you are right. You are prophets. You do hear from me. I do speak to you. And then, but here's, notice what the Lord says. Be a Berean, check me out here. The Lord says to Aaron and Miriam, you guys are prophetic. You hear, but you hear dimly. I speak to you in a mystery, in a dream, in a proverb, in an enigma, in a parable. And then the Lord says, but it's not that way with Moses. With Moses, we talk face to face. And I believe God is inviting and drawing and soliciting and taking the church on a journey out of prophetic obscurity, mysticism, seeing through a glass darkly, getting a strange proverb that we can't quite work out, dream interpretation. I'm not against those things, but I think that's the kiddie pool, and he's drawing us into a face-to-face relationship with him. You know, if Moses can see the face of God and live, guess what? You and I can as well. And again, I'm going to continue on this vein, but I encourage you to do a little study sometime on the concept, the word, the phrase, the face of God. God says again and again, seek my face. There's a verse in the Proverbs that said, when you said to me, Lord, seek my face, my heart said, your face I will seek. And I think when you seek God for information, you'll sometimes get it, but it'll be in part. But when you seek his face, you'll hear his voice. Selah. Guys, I gotta run, but have a wonderful day wherever you're at. If I don't see you before, happy Thanksgiving. Drop me a line, and I'd appreciate your prayers for this trip to Israel next week. Hey, pick up a copy of that book. There'll be a link below. I know it will bless you. And why not get a few copies for others for Christmas gifts. Bye for now.